Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio, dial 929 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio and you want to stay up to date with everything happening here at the station, you can download the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. You can stream live anywhere. You can even listen on demand. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My co-host, as he is each and every Wednesday on the program, is the MC of Fun and Games in the greater Memphis metro area. He's also the host of Writer Than Right Trivia. Tomorrow morning, Jeff Calkins Show, 10:30. Win them before you can buy them.
Ooh.
Cake is back, Kevin. Cake. We will be giving away cake tickets tomorrow on Writer Than Right Trivia.
Cake.
Also, he's the host
Everybody loves cake.
Everybody loves cake. Short skirt, long jacket, and every other song that kind of sounds the same. They have a sound. He's also the host of 901 Wrestling. You can follow his website, CerritoEntertainment.com, on Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Greetings, Jeffrey. An exciting Wednesday. We've got a new trivia location starting tonight. We're at Waldo's in Cordova. Waldo's Chicken and Beer out there on Germantown Parkway in the old Nukes. If you haven't tried any of the chicken at Waldo's yet, you are missing out. You got to go to Waldo's.
So is that our one spot tonight? What are we also having?
Celtic Crossing, the biggest trivia night in Memphis.
So Josephine, we got the old call that Josephine running a slight fever.
Uh-oh.
So Aaliyah was supposed to be out of town, but then she's got meetings all day. She's like, I can't go get her, and I was on the air with Jeff. So my mom went to go get her, but because of the fever, she won't be able to go back tomorrow. So Aaliyah and Jeffrey have a little alone time. So maybe Celtic. What do we got? What kind of trivia we got at Celtic?
Oh yeah, it's general knowledge trivia. We're at Celtic Crossing, Ghost River downtown
on
Main
Street.
If
I showed up and lost.
And then out at Waldo's, we're doing a special edition since it's the debut there. We're doing all handouts tonight. So if you've ever been to a Cerrito trivia, you know what I'm talking about. We have a round where the questions are on a handout, and so all handouts tonight out at Waldo's as we kick it off there. But it's general knowledge as well. So, yeah, go to streetentertainment.com, find out where we're playing. We also got Music Bingo at Dan McGinnis in South Haven and at Hampline's Tap Room there on Broad Avenue. But, Jeffrey, we didn't talk about this in our pre-production meeting, but football's over. The college football is over now. And I know we've got this term for when college football and the NFL are going on at the same time. You know,
Total football.
What
we
is
had a listener submit this.
What is the period now that total football is now over? We are just in, is it just playoff football, or do we have a term for this lame duck period of football? Because it feels like it's the lame duck period, right? Like, all right, we're on our way to the Super Bowl. But it's still exciting, but like we know it's coming to an end. We know the Sundays and the Saturday schedules have all already changed, in our lives and your routine, right? Red zone is done.
I think there are several key moments. You touched on one there. When you get the prompt on red zone, we'll see you again next fall.
Right.
That's a tough one. The end of the college football season, it's happening later, and we're going to discuss that here in just a moment. I don't know. This is the part of the time where you just start like really counting down. Like we have three football games left.
Right. You know, it's like getting like, it's really like things are often compared to the Super Bowl or Christmas, right? It's the whatever Christmas, something Super Bowl. Like Super Bowl is really the sports Christmas.
Yeah.
And Christmas is really the Super Bowl of holidays.
No, so, there's no question.
Right. You're counting down. Like these are the amount of games that are left. Like you've got your football advent calendar here getting ready.
This is
for the Super Bowl. You know, it's about to end because really, you know, the Super Bowl is a game, but like it's so much more to it that last day of the conference championship games, that's the big last day of football. Really?
Correct. And I don't know if it's because, all right, they're at the NFL stadiums, whereas the neutral site.
Right.
But you are correct. There's something about the Super Bowl beyond just being like a cultural event, and that there's obviously more casual people.
There is a game, and football is involved.
Right. But Sunday feels more about the football than the Super Bowl does.
You know,
because you don't have the halftime shows, you don't have the build up, the week of Super Bowl media, and everyone going around hawking their product and going on a show for 8 minutes. Like, you don't have the car wash. It is more about these games.
Got to put people want to put the Christ back in Christmas. They want to put the football back in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, the first thought that comes to mind is it's almost like the Christmas break of football, because Christmas break, I always thought if you were going to write a self-help book, it was live every day like it was Christmas break.
Right.
Because you cherished every single day of Christmas break. You knew it was a finite time. It wasn't long.
Something big was going to happen during it.
You were going to make the most of it. Whereas on summer break, we got tomorrow. Like, you can easily put things off. You don't cherish every single day that you're off, but you do on Christmas break.
Right.
But there's also, I don't know, I just always find that when we get past divisional weekend, it's kind of like it's the football equivalent of the Sunday night blues or the Sunday scaries, where it's really hitting you like, we only have three football games left of the NFL. With all due respect to the Showboats, the UFL, we have three NFL games.
Of course. Yeah, of course. I mean, it's a totally different, I don't think, we don't include, is it the UFL
now?
UFL? In total football, right? They're not part of total football.
Correct. They are outside of total football. So it is Wednesday, so that means we'll do buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. We'll talk some college football playoff. Also want to get into the Grizzlies, perhaps some Dan Hurley. Also coming up next segment, Kevin, I don't know if it's a negotiation move. I don't know if it is actually it's Tom Brady's Leo in Wolf of Wall Street moment, like, I ain't effing leaving. He's very adamant. All these haters out there that are saying he's a one and done, that's not the case. He went on Cowherd today. So I want to discuss what we do with Kevin usually on Wednesdays. Talk about the sports media landscape. Want to get into that. We've also had some Netflix numbers. We'll discuss those as well. We'll get into the list during hour number two. We've had some more movement on the NFL coaching front. Also, I wanted to discuss, almost finished second in Bill Conley's SP Plus. Now, it's just a power rating. How would you feel about that if you're an Ole Miss fan? Like, I kind of want to discuss that big picture, because I think it probably confirms what a lot of Ole Miss fans thought, which is their best was really good, but here they are outside of the playoff. And is that a title that you would like to have? Because I think that's an interesting discussion. Then CJ Hurt's going to join us like he does each and every Wednesday. We'll talk some Grizzlies, maybe figure out how he's coping with an Ohio State championship. Is he claiming a national championship himself as a Michigan Wolverine? We'll do all that. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But it's Wednesday. Let's fire it up. Buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. All right, Kevin. I thought about rewriting this one, but I think we'll stick with it. Buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. The biggest issue with the college football playoff was the dates.
Ooh, okay. Now, for the record, I feel like we enjoyed it, right? We enjoyed this, or what?
Overall, I kind of viewed it as listening to a demo tape of a band I like, and I like the demos. I still think it needs some refining, but overall, I don't know. This is kind of another separate, like, existential question. I thought, given this year, and the parity that we saw throughout the country, and more teams that were competitive, I thought this was a great year for a 12-team playoff. Would we feel that way if we would have had a 12-team playoff in a year where really we're like, man, there's like three teams? Because in the end, when this playoff started, there are plenty of people that had Notre Dame in their bracket and had Ohio State in their bracket. It's not like advancing Ohio State was all that, that big of a stretch. They were going to get a home game. Right. They were going to get to play Oregon in a neutral site. They lost that game on the road by 1 point. Like, the idea of them winning that game and then getting matched up with a 5 seed or a 4 seed, you could easily have gamed that out. But the fact that we just didn't have, like, the obvious teams that were going to win it, would we still feel the same way? And I don't know that. I don't know if that's honestly answerable. I just look at the broad strokes of, I felt like I was more invested in the entirety of the sport for a longer period of time than I had, definitely during the 14 playoff era and the BCS, pre-BCS era. That's just like such a different era of football where only so many games were on TV. Like it was more, there was a scarcity issue. And so overall, though, I was two thumbs up.
Right, and we had games. So many games mattered, right? So but it's a work in progress, which is kind of cool because, like, you can't wait for perfection, right? You gotta be willing to tweak things.
Sometimes you just gotta get out there and start.
Yeah, just do it and see how you gotta see it. Test it out, right? You know, Taco Bell's out test marketing their latest creation in some city before they roll it out nationwide.
There was something in San Diego. The group chat, the college group chat, was all over it because. There was something. We have a couple of Taco Bell diehards in the Pepper Pals.
I would love to hear what they said has been.
There was some.
Did they get to try it?
It was something that was debuting in San Diego, and they were telling our San Diego buddies that they had to go try and report back.
But it's still a work in progress, and I feel like we went it was such a long period of time that playoffs happening that we went through these different stages of this is the problem with it, right? And whether or not it was seeded wrong was often something people acted like was an issue.
Yep.
And still feel like it should be changed. You mentioned the calendar. So I think there's just something wrong with it when we are past Martin Luther King. The championship was on Martin Luther King Day and the playoffs started before Christmas. And I just can't figure out why we need to start the playoffs and have it last through three holidays.
Well, you do know.
What?
You do know the answer.
Television money?
Yeah.
So it's like a TV show?
Correct.
That's
so
pretty much where we got to look at the college football playoffs.
So it's two.
It started before Christmas and ended on Martin Luther King. I feel like it could have been a little bit.
So I would say there are two.
Faster.
Years, to the calendar argument, there's three key hurdles to overcome. Number one, the way that the congressional the way the law is written, college football on Saturdays is only protected basically from Labor Day until I think it's the first week of December. Because there's a reason why when the NFL starts playing Saturday football, it happens on the calendar because it's right. Based on a law that is written that was written back in the, I don't know if it was the 50s or the 60s, but it was written to protect college football. Because originally, college football was more popular than the NFL, and the NFL was built on the backs of college football. And so there was this idea if you allowed the NFL to invade Saturdays, even this is in the 60s, like, hey, eventually they'll just take it over. So there was built-in protections there. So the problem is when people go, well, make week zero, week one, that falls outside of the protections. Now, granted, the NFL is not going to play then
right,
either.
They're not going to play.
But people are still traveling. And really, well, on that one, it's TV doesn't want that. Hurdle number two is conference championship week. And the conferences do not want to get rid of these. Not just because, like, the SEC, it's a cash cow, but also these events become similar to the Super Bowl in this sense that they are, like, giant conferences where business gets done.
Business gets done. It's more of a, I don't know if it's a celebration of the conference or the.
It can be.
It can be in a little
and
way.
Also,
there's a lot of stuff that goes into
and
it.
If
it's
you want,
more about the,
if you
the
want
sizzle.
To get, you know, if you want to get really skeptical, hey, Sankey has oftentimes used that forum and that platform and all that attention to either promote his teams or try to get one team over the other. Like
can you move the game up a week? The championship, everybody played week zero in theory, which means you're playing in August. It's going to be hot. My goodness, you're going to Texas and earlier in August, nobody wants to do it, but move that up. Now, I don't know. A lot of teams don't want to be playing in these cold weather conditions that they have to be playing in. But to move that up, put the championship week up, a week earlier, but then we're hitting Thanksgiving and
The simplest answer was you could have done it this year. You could have done it this year because Labor Day was early this year. And so what that meant was because Labor Day was early, everyone had, this was a two bye week year.
Right. You could have, you had a whole week.
Correct. So when you get the second bye week years, okay, you tell everyone they've only got one bye week, you move everything up, but that's largely based on literally the calendar.
Right. They can't do that every year.
They can't do it every single year. So the third major hurdle, and this one I do not know how you work around, ESPN owns the playoff entirely. Like, even the games that are on TNT, they're sub-licensed to TNT.
Yeah.
They own it.
Right, yeah.
And so, because of that, you now have another new issue with the NFL adding Week 18. That moved Super Wild Card Weekend, which is now Wild Card Weekend presented by Verizon, thanks be to the commissioner. That moved that Monday night game a week later. And so ESPN has the exclusive rights to that Monday night game of Wild Card Weekend presented by Verizon, and they also own Championship Weekend. So now you have that overlap. I guess a potential solution to that problem could be if Goodell's able to get his way and force feed the 18-week schedule in, or the 18-game schedule, that would add an additional week, and that would move it back, and so that you could take over that, you could have it on that Monday again, but then that still presents the problem of, okay, well, the quarterfinals aren't, that's the week right now that we play the quarterfinals.
And maybe it's just an issue this year. I haven't looked at that. Do we have dates announced for 2025 starting of the playoffs coming up later on this year? Because I maybe because, as you mentioned, because of where Labor Day was and where Thanksgiving, like that, of course, you had the short period between Thanksgiving and Christmas, shorter than a lot of years. And so it was the latest Thanksgiving could be on the calendar was what it was this past.
Which is always weird when you have a early Labor Day and late Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And so, like, did it just happen before Christmas this year and next year? Maybe it just needs to start after Christmas. Maybe, I don't know. To me, it just felt like it went on for a while, and the games need to be a little bit closer. I am still a little old school, Jeffrey, and I know, and it's totally different than modern day, right? Like, so modern television watching is what? What do you do when people watch TV? If they're watching just a TV show, you tell me what show you said I need to watch. Silicon Valley, right?
Yeah.
Like, I need to watch that. I could go home and I could binge it tonight. I could binge. I could watch the whole thing, be done with it by next Wednesday if I wanted to. And so, like, binging. But, you know, back in the day, you used to, and still for some shows, especially I'm a big reality show fan, I get to wait a week before your show comes on. Like, I feel like the week is the right amount of time for your brain to be like, all right, I'm ready for the next part of this to happen.
And so I guess
football works that way throughout the year. It's every Saturday. Every Saturday. And I'm not saying it's got to be a Saturday, but like, can we just, all right, next week, when's the next one? But when it's like an odd number of days in between, can we, like, why are we waiting so many extra days? Let's just, and I know we got the bowl games we got to figure, they don't have to, but they act like they have to figure out the bowl games and the schedules. But like, maybe it'd just be better if it was just week, let's not get it over with, but like, let's be consistent on when it's happening. I'm a big advocate for that. I feel like the NBA should just pick 3 days of the week and play only on those 3 days, so I know when there's a game happening. But, you know, it's a bigger deal than that when it comes down to money and networks and all.
So, the first, maybe I should say this should have been a fourth hurdle.
The fourth one is?
The fourth hurdle would have been on your question of, can we start it earlier? All right, I'm of the opinion.
I would start the playoffs later, I guess, after Christmas versus, like, they did it a few days before Christmas.
So my big deal is they have basically 12 days in between rounds.
Yeah.
So by my math, you're adding basically an additional week. Because you have the first round, the quarters, the semis. Right there, we're talking about 6 days, then to the final. So basically, you're adding an additional week by having it be 12 days rather than 7 days apart. The way that the hurdle that they had was largely coaches griping about, well, if we play in our conference championship game and we lose, we'd have to turn right around the next week. And this is where the lack of a central authority figure, a college football czar, everyone, the commissioner of college football, this is where the lack of that really hurts, because tough S, you're hosting a playoff game. By the way, the Minnesota Vikings just played on Sunday Night Football. They had their guts ripped out of them. They were either going to be the one seed hosting the entire NFC playoffs, or they were going to lose and go on the road. Well, guess what? They had to lose, go on the road, turn right back around a week later. I really think I think basically we're talking about, you play the conference championship game, start the playoff the next week. Now, the other flip side of that is the Army-Navy argument about this, where Army-Navy is supposed to have the standalone game, and that week would be Army-Navy week. I just really think once the playoffs get going, start putting a week in between, because I also think that would also combat one of the actual challenges of this playoff.
Like, it shouldn't be. I think it would benefit ESPN if they figured out a way to schedule it a little bit better. And maybe it's not a problem. Maybe it was just me, but I just felt like we went through so many holidays before we crowned a champion, including the Super Bowl of holidays, as we mentioned. Christmas is in there, and we got a freaking new president before we even got to the end of the playoffs.
Well, so that's an interesting question you raise, because on Monday, I'm not saying that
Monday was a busy holiday. As far as holidays, right. I feel like a lot was going on.
You had,
especially locally,
correct. You had the MLK game. You have the inauguration going on, and then that night after, by the way, a monster division weekend, which is one of the three biggest weekends of the NFL. There's a case to be made last weekend is a bigger weekend for the NFL than even this weekend is, despite it being championship weekend, because you have 2 days. You had the full day Saturday of games and the full day of Sunday of games. So there's an argument, and that just swallows up everything.
But that should, maybe the game shouldn't have been played on Monday. Maybe you do a Thursday night game, so you get ahead of the being swallowed up by that.
Correct. So, like, would we have, because I watched every snap of the game, obviously, but I did find myself going, this felt like an afterthought for being a national championship game. Would it have felt bigger if it would have been Thursday or Friday of last week instead of after divisional weekend? You're like the kickoff for divisional weekend.
Yeah, I want them to play on Saturday, turn around, have the game on Thursday.
And I mean, my gut says ESPN, if ESPN wanted it on one of those 2 days, there's also the other, ESPN has NBA on Friday, so they're not going to put it on Friday. Like, there's always these other competing interests that they have.
Because it's interesting, I felt like even though all the first round games were blowouts, like, it felt like it got off to a better start than it finished. Like, it was a better start than the finish.
I felt like every subsequent round lost a little bit of steam. Now, I am open to this possibility. Did the first round have a lot of steam and buzz because it's something we hadn't seen before? It was something new. It was these home playoff games. You started it off with Notre Dame, and you get like some of the most iconic imagery of all of college football is, you know, on the campus in South Bend. And so you had that big buildup, and then you had the three games the next day. Is it always going to feel like that? I don't know. Like, is it? I tend to think yes, because there's.
Well, my concern, if they're adding more, they're going to add more teams. Like, is it going to add, or are we just going to have more football in this same period we just went through? Or is it going to extend even further? And we're going to crown a college football champion
right
before we have the Super Bowl.
So the Super
Bowl, does it get pushed back? I mean,
well, the first question is, when does the NFL eventually go to 18 games?
That's true.
So that's a huge part, because when the NFL goes to 18 games, we are actually going to get the thing that you and I and everyone has been screaming about for decades, which is, why do we not have a national holiday on Monday? So they're going to move the Super Bowl back to the Sunday before President's Day. Not everyone will have a holiday, but a decent amount of people will at least have a holiday. So that will give you a little bit more time. But when they go to 16 teams, you're adding more teams but not more rounds if they go to 16.
Right, because the byes are gone.
Right, the byes will be gone, and then
so we'll just get more games on those days.
So you will just basically be adding two additional games on that weekend. So my guess is what you would see is you will probably have, I'm guessing, an early Friday evening game, a late evening game on Friday, and then you figure out a way to play four games on Saturday. Because they're obviously not going to bleed into Sunday. They don't want to do that. Or right. maybe one playoff game on Thursday night, one playoff game on Friday night, and then three on Saturday. And then you'll have whoever's playing that Thursday game will be griping about playing that Thursday game. So we'll always have that. But really, I think actually I've come to the conclusion I'm buying this.
I'll buy it. I'm going to buy it as well. Because what the other big argument is, the seat. I don't really care about the seating that much.
So
all these same teams would have been playing each other in some type of fashion anyway.
So to me, the only other two gripes are seating and selection process. And the reason why I'm dismissing that is those policies were collectively bargained. They had all the commissioners in there, and like they agreed to it. It was not a surprise. We can disagree on which teams were selected, but I mean,
they're going to go back to the table and collectively bargain a new arrangement for the seating, more than likely. We're going to get some new seating, right? That's probably the most likely change of them all.
So this is the other thing, is like this is a lame duck playoff now. Like this will be the last season of the 12-teamer.
Because it'll be 16.
Correct. So there's the possibility that there's no changes. That everyone decides, well, the changes will come in 2026. But if we are going to have changes, the most likely change is to seeding. The second most likely change would be number of automatic qualifiers. But the reason why I dismiss all of that is I don't think the committee, we can disagree on how they selected the teams. I don't think they selected the teams dishonestly. And
the teams that were in there were the ones that should have been in there. And, you know,
I would have an argument that I would say the ACC is not if this were college basketball and SMU would have lost the way that they did.
Yeah.
SMU is probably not getting into the college basketball tournament. Like if it were a one bid, in my opinion, the ACC should have been a one bid league.
Okay. I agree with that.
But
who are you putting in?
That's the other problem. Like that was then.
And then we're going to 16. So we're not going to. But again, we'll get to 16.
Well, I mean, there's always going to be somebody out. Topmeyer pointed this out last week because I pointed out to him that I think we probably undervalued the Big 12 and we overvalued the ACC. And
sometimes you don't know until you know.
Correct. I would also argue the problem was the ACC still has a little bit more college football brand. Like, what's left in the Big 12 is not. But his point was, we probably overlooked BYU. And I think there's a reasonable case. Because
how do you fix any of that part? I don't like.
That's what I'm saying. And also, that's all agreed to. I think.
Because if you look at, to me, the seeding argument, once Ohio State, yes, Ohio State-Oregon game is the game you can point to, and you really can make it support which way you want to go, is that the seeding was wrong, so that game should have happened later. But that game, if that game was going to happen one way or another, Ohio State beat the best team, the most deserving number one seed, hands down. Nobody would dispute Oregon should have been the number one seed in this playoffs.
Yep.
And they got beat by 20 by the team that just lost to Michigan.
It wasn't even that close.
Right. But then the team that just beat, we lost to Michigan like right before that, right? So like the seeding is going to be wrong in some ways. I think it's going to be hard to fully figure out as you go along, but it should not be guaranteed. It's just stupid. We talked about that throughout the year, how you were guaranteeing it to conference champions when they may not be better than these other
teams. The problem was the guaranteeing of a conference champion only works if you have conferences that are relatively equal.
Right.
And we do not have that.
And they're not going to say we're going to guarantee the SEC champion. Correct. But not the ACC champion. But you don't need that. I mean, I know it seems like it's ripped from the NFL and they're, you know, if you win your division.
Well, they want to, and I mean, to a certain degree, like you want to reward the conference champions, but I guess the other thing I would say, yeah, you're getting a bid. The other reason why I would be in favor of telling the coaches tough S, like you're playing next week, I think that it was unclear to me if you would have rather have played in the first round and hosted a playoff game versus being a team that had a bye, because the teams that had a bye had a extremely long layoff, and those teams all came out fairly rusty and looked flat. Is that, like, I'm also willing to accept the sample size issue. Like, right. Just because it happened this year doesn't mean it happens every other year. Like, I totally get that, but I also think that this is true. When you have a long layoff in football, you're not quite as sharp. Like, that's just part of it. I mean,
Home field advantage was awesome. I think that was something that I came away with, like, okay, can we get more of this? I would love to see the second round be played on the home field. That was, to me, I wouldn't say it was a surprise. We knew it was going to be cool. And especially when it got down to, you know, every week we're looking at, like, okay, the games could be played here, here, and here.
Yeah.
And we ended up with four awesome places to have the games. And I think, like, more of that, please. And I think that's more of something you could play for, because it's easier to give somebody the home field advantage if you're in that 16 team, because the 8 teams will have home field advantage. So you would get that home field advantage slot in the first round, right? So
I think the other
in
question
the 16,
is,
there's going to be that reward of you get to have home field.
Would the noise, though, because right now I'm in favor of, hey, I'm in favor of play them all until the championship game on campus.
Like, it seems like tricky.
But I also acknowledge.
It makes me always think of the NIT, right?
Sure.
Because the NIT, you got so many games in the NIT. I don't know how many are played on the home court. And there's so many Tiger teams over the years. It'd be like, what, would you rather just go get blown out in the NCAA tournament or have a shot to win the NIT and get some home court money and all this stuff?
Yeah.
Like the teams that were just right there on the bubble, it was kind of fun sometimes to have those NIT games at home. But and then the games end up going to New York. So that's why I always kind of think, oh, the games
so
start here and then they
64,
end up going.
And then the final four would go to New York. And now I think it's 32. 32, and then the four go to New York.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. But, like, I guess...
Anyway, it makes me think of that model, but...
Well, the other thing that I kept thinking about the home games, though, is...
If it's 8 home games, though, I think it's going to be different, and maybe we won't be asking for more if we see us straight across the board, there's no buys, and there's 8 teams hosting a game, then they all get their reward to get that home game.
I guess
the next game goes to...
We got... Fortunate in this in this regard. The only real weather issue we had during the opening weekend was cold.
Yeah.
Would we have felt differently? Because you started to see this in the NFL this weekend, particularly in the Rams-Eagles game, in which I cannot remember this, where I was watching SportsCenter after the Bills game, and I had totally forgotten the game started off with a clean field. Like, you could see the right. grass and everything. And then by the second half, it's like it just felt like that whole game was a snow game, but it wasn't. Would there be more pushback had there been, like, snow on the ground and you would have felt that determined the outcome? I would say tough, win more games.
Because that's what...
Correct, that's a home field advantage.
Home field, but... It may not come down to that win more games. It may come down to the schedule, right? Like, oh, sorry, you know, Boise, you didn't get it because you're not in a conference we respect. So you're not going to get the home field now under these new rules. And so, like, there could be there's obviously that debate, which is going to be. And that's part of the fun, right? But is the schedule, I'm starting to think as we talk this through, was like, obviously, I do feel like it's just wild how long – much time has passed since it started, but
it started back in 2024.
Right. But also is the problem with college football is that there's too many other little distractions. You mentioned the conference championships, you mentioned all, and there's all these other bowl games happening.
Yeah.
Like the NFL had a minor distraction, a waste of time, minor distraction, and they got rid of it. The Pro Bowl, right? Like the Pro Bowl, yeah. Right before the Super Bowl was like, yeah, we don't need this. Let's just focus
Pro
on
Pro Bowl games.
Right.
We'll shove it down your throat.
So like it's like there's just too much like distractions in college football. That's all I can call them, the bowl games. That's what we call them, bowl games. Bowl games and conference championships. Too many things that don't matter to the crowning a champion happen between all of this chaos going on.
Yeah.
So we get the games, we're getting all this other stuff.
I also wonder, I would be interested to see if there's a regional breakdown. I wonder if much of the Southeast, which is a core part of college football, when really the only SEC team that was left was Texas, and that's a air quotes SEC team.
Right.
That's an SEC team on paper. Did once it basically became like a Midwestern enterprise, did that, are we feeling like what's happening around us? I personally think the answer is no, but I'm open to the idea that the lack of an SEC team and the lack of interest from everyone around us, I just felt
was that the problem? Like that you could be it.
I mean, maybe, but I really just felt like when we got to that championship Monday, I was just like, I was spent from the weekend. And I get it, Cry Me a River, you got to go watch 4 more hours of football, like deal with it. But it was almost just like it was an after. It feels like to me they need to figure out a way to finish it before division weekend of the NFL.
Yeah, there you go. But we'll see how they go.
All right, let's take a quick break. Let's get back. We'll talk some Grizzlies when we come back. Let's talk whether or not the regular season for the Grizzlies. How does that shape it? Is this just become all that matters for this Grizzlies season is what they do in the playoffs? I want to discuss that. A couple other of sports on TV topics. We'll do that. We'll do the list. CJ Hurt also coming up. That's during hour number 2. Stick around. You're listening to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Memphis Grizzlies return home tonight. They'll take on the Charlotte Hornets. You can hear pregame at 6:30. Tip off with Eric at 7 p.m. All right, Kevin, I want to get into a little Grizzlies while we are here. And I was kind of thinking about this as we kind of go through postseason football and you start to ponder, okay, where are the Grizzlies? How do you feel about the Grizzlies? And I think the key question that I have for this team is, have we reached the point where a team's success, the Grizzlies' entire this team's entire success is just completely defined by the playoffs?
I feel like success completely defined by the playoffs. I think so. I think when you're a team of success, for sure, because I mean this is a team that is built to be a contender, right? Harrington's got a story today about it. Are the Grizzlies contenders? Are the real? You know, they really. In it to win it this year. And if you're on that level, like, yeah, it's defined by the playoffs. Sometimes the season can be defined of making the playoffs for, you know, Hubie Brown's 10-man rotation. But
Shout out 0-12.
Yeah. But this team, that's what this team is about. I mean, we're going to play the games. We're going to watch the games. There's going to be these, and there have been very interesting side stories happening. That's what this season's about. What else is it about? The last time you were watching them play on TNT? I mean, what's...
Well, no, I mean, like, that's what I was kind of thinking. It's like, I don't know if this is a byproduct of something that the NBA has done.
Or bigger picture here, yeah.
Right, because I just find myself thinking the regular season doesn't really matter. And I'm not saying if you watch regular season, guys, I watch them all. Like, I'm not saying it. But what I keep thinking about is, few opportunities for moments. But then, like in my own head, it's like, I don't know, watching the Grizzlies beat the Warriors by 51 that night and watching Draymond Green statistically have one of the worst games an NBA player has ever had, that was a lot of fun. But I do think the larger issue is, and like this is probably a better way to rephrase the question. If the Grizzlies don't get past the first round, can it be a good season? And honestly, like thinking in my head, the answer is probably no.
No, it cannot be. But I mean, we're getting, to the big, big pictures of the NBA. Why is the NBA? But I'm serious. Like, there's always these arguments. Like, you don't need to watch the NBA game until the last 4 or 5 minutes.
Right.
And then if you watch the MLK game, like the Grizzlies. It seemed to have turned it on in the last 5 minutes, and they rallied back, they came back, and they won. And that was an awesome 5 minutes of five basketball minutes there at the end of that MLK game. So, I mean, you could often see these examples of why these people think what they think about this stuff. But you can find moments and times, but for a team like this, like, just not going to care. It's going to be fun, the ride's going to be fun, but you're not going to really look back fondly at that much, I would think.
And I think I guess the way that I look at it is like, if you only have two more guaranteed shots with Ja, Dez, and Jaren. Even though I expect you're going to have more than two, I think they'll figure out a way to re-sign Jaren. There's also going to be other issues. Like, Jaren's going to become way more expensive. Like, there's just no question. But I also kind of look at it as time and place. All right, the Oklahoma City Thunder have clearly separated themselves from the rest of the West. With that said, they're still unproven in the playoffs. And I still have my questions, and maybe I'll be proven incorrect, but I have my questions of whether or not they're built for postseason basketball. You look at it in terms of the East, okay, yes, we still expect Boston to be there, but we are not dealing in the era of the true super team. In the era, like, the closest thing we have to it is Boston. It's like, but that's not Kevin Durant going up and pairing up with Steph and Clay and he who should not be named. Or, you know, it's, we don't have that elite, unbelievable, you can't beat them no matter what type team. And so that presents another opportunity, which also kind of creates some more urgency where you're like, all I'm thinking about is the playoffs, all I'm thinking about is the playoffs. But I just really think it's kind of, at a certain point, it's like teams are built and now it's your time to go and get something done. And we've reached that. And I just really look back to even like 2 years ago, getting knocked out of the first round by the Lakers. Like, that season feels drastically different than even the season before, where you beat the Timberwolves and then you move on and you lose to the Warriors in six. But like, those were, and there was obviously other elements involved because you had the Ja drama and it just wasn't a fun team to watch as it was the year before. But I just really think we've hit the point where there's no regular season accolade that they can achieve that's going to make you think, even if they got bounced in the first round, it was still a good season. I think it's all just now entirely playoff success.
Playoff success or playoff moments. Because if you go back to the Lakers, I was, and of course the Grizzlies, many, many folks thought the Grizzlies had a shot to win that series, right? But to me, as the native Memphian, I enjoyed that series moment happening. So that was a rare example of like, you could have lost, but you were still like, wow, this is kind of, there was something to it.
It definitely felt like a bigger event. And I don't know if that's just solely the Lakers, or I think it was LeBron.
There's a combination, right? You had both of them.
Yeah, together. And then you had Dylan poking the bear and
right, and I don't know what it could be outside of like playoff success. I mean, the Grizzlies could be matched up with the Lakers again. You know, chance to get revenge. That could happen in the playoffs. I don't know if there is another playoff matchup that would be intriguing enough in the first round to be like, ooh, if it's Grizz Lakers first round, which is possible, then that, you know, adds another element of not necessarily playoff success. You'd want to see the success, but.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, obviously, if you had Golden State, who's out of it right now, but they're tied for 10th or whatever. But you know what separates?
When you look at the Lakers series was really that last. I know those teams, the Grizzlies, have not played in the playoffs, but it was. Playing the Lakers was the last, like, wow moment. Like, unless do they make the finals? Like, I think there's not going to be, a current matchup that is a first time ever, right? You got this young franchise, been here for 20-plus years now, but, like, there's still that Lakers series was a first.
Absolutely. And I mean, the entire, like, NBA attention was on that. So, I mean, the other possibility
is making the finals would be amazing, you know?
You know, if you wound up in a first-round matchup with the Mavericks,
be cool, but
it's still not on that level.
It's not.
Because
you got player matchups. I think there's player matchups for the first round that would be awesome. But the stage and the spotlight you get when you play the Lakers, and I think that really is the only team. I mean, Golden State was like that for a second, but I don't feel like they are now.
Okay. So now let's get to the sports on TV portion of the audience. And no one's got his pulse on the Swifties quite like you do.
I tried to keep it on the Swifties.
Okay, I thought this was interesting. And the NFL playoff ratings for divisional weekend across the board were down from last season. Obviously, that requires some context. There was one game, however, that was not down. It was up marginally from last season, and that was the Texans and the Chiefs, which last year was going up against, I believe at that point, it was the Ravens and the Texans. So that's who, that would be the comparison from last year. Every other game was down basically double digits, and the one that was shockingly the most down was last year, Bills-Chiefs compared to Bills-Ravens, which was a game that I felt like I'd been looking forward to for at least a couple of weeks, even though we technically hadn't gotten there yet.
Right.
Is this the Swiftie effect?
Is
it the Chiefs or is it the Swifties?
Well, it's a combination of what makes the Chiefs this force, right? Because I'm in a conundrum, Jeffrey. We were talking about it in the break. Like, I am a proud part of the Jeff Calkins Show for the past four or so years, friends with Jeff, and really want to see his Bills succeed. And I want to go for the ride with him, like the emotional roller coaster on the radio for the, you know, just as a listener, I would like to listen to the roller coaster and the angst and the anxiety and all of that he's going to be going through, excitement that's going to happen if the Bills make the Super Bowl again. Because we as long as Calkins has been here in Memphis, the Bills have not made the Super Bowl.
They've not made the Super Bowl. They have had one AFC championship game in the COVID year.
Right.
Then they also had the 13 seconds game, the Music City Miracle.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe Tyrod's playoff game. I think.
So what disaster is going to happen?
Oh, I left out the wild card game between the Bills and the Texans that he and two of his three sons went to Houston and attended and watched the Bills blow a 17-point lead and lose in overtime. That one. And then, obviously, last year, where they got beat by the Chiefs.
Right.
In divisional weekend.
And then here we go. They're paired up with the Chiefs. And I also want to see the Chiefs. So I want to see the Bills. I don't need to bet on this game because I'm going to win either way, I guess. I'll be happy with either one of these teams making the Super Bowl. It's probably going to be the team that I personally would like to see be successful. And it's not the Chiefs based off of the Swiftie effect, but I think it's interesting. The three-peat storyline to me has got me... I am super invested in the on-field and the off-field, obviously, with Taylor Swift and the extra celebrity that's going to go with it. I obviously, the Chiefs will help the ratings of the Super Bowl, not that they need it, but the Bills would be a cool story. We're veering all off. And then Washington Commanders are in there, which, you know, so many people will, if they make the Super Bowl, will learn that they changed their name.
Yes. Well, that's also a different story. Like that's,
Commanders, I'm sorry. I know they changed the name, but every time I see it, I feel like, wait a minute, am I watching the XFL or the... It seems like a team name that is the wrong league.
Well, he's changing it, but that's going to be tied into the new stadium. If you've noticed, whenever Harris, their owner, he only wears like the W. He never wears like any Commanders.
But if they're changing it, and they can't change it if they win the Super Bowl though, right? They're going to have to remain the Commanders.
I think everyone's so... I mean, the truth is, like, the Washington football team was a better name. Like, they should have stuck with that, but there was, you know...
That's too much.
Snyder was always trying to get government... He was trying to get, like, military contracts, like, involved. Like, so he was always going for something, like, military adjacent. He was always going for that. But I also think there's, like, a larger story at play with them, which is the complete... erosion of one of the NFL's biggest fan bases into, like, honestly, where no one just cared, like a complete erosion of a fan base. And then in year one, as soon as you get rid of bad owner, you make the Super Bowl, and now you have this perhaps special quarterback that we're seeing in Jaden Daniels. Like, there's storylines, like a whole like rebirth of a franchise there. So like that makes them interesting.
Definitely. I can't wait. Like, if the Commanders make the Super Bowl, we get to have that, you know, that conversation with your significant other or another one is a Super Bowl party with you. Somebody is going to they're going to be like, so do they play in Washington State?
Right.
Where do they? Because it's like they don't know. Like, what is this new
team?
Well,
they actually play. Play in Maryland?
Yeah. Right. Wait, what?
They might.
I think if I'm ever become the sports czar, I'm going to make every Washington team change their name to the DC, DC whatever, just so I don't want to keep having these conversations with people asking me, did they play in Washington State or the nation's capital? I keep having that conversation all the time.
I also don't like, I mean, obviously everyone that saw the documentary X-Men Days from Futures Past knows that Magneto took RFK Stadium and threw it up over the White House.
Yes, yes, yes. I do remember that moment. That
we got to get a stadium back there. Like, those are just, like, that's some of our most iconic imagery. But I guess the argument, well, we don't have a football stadium in Manhattan. It's like, okay, whatever.
Well, what?
The LA stadiums in Inglewood.
Right.
Next to the airport.
Right. But the Washington, like, they could.
The RFK
site. They were about to move to Virginia, weren't they?
Well, that's always, like, the lever. Like, was that negotiating?
I mean, it was.
Virginia wanted them, but then that kind of fell through. And
Virginia wanted the Wizards too, right? Well, they were going
to
get the Wizards.
Yeah, everyone was trying to like get the Sportsplex, but the reality is everybody kind of wants the Commanders or whatever, the Washington football team to be back near the RFK site. Everyone except for the people that live around RFK, but I just say do what they did to the Wrigley Field people.
So your comment, the Commanders changing names again at some point.
Yes.
Even if they win the Super Bowl.
That is almost guaranteed. I think, though, the interesting aspect of the Chiefs is no matter how much we say we're bored of them, we apparently are not.
Yeah, I will say I'm in the category. I am not. No, we say they're bored. The three-peat thing is so interesting that I would love to see the Commanders beat them in the Super Bowl, right? I'm not saying that. But also, you know, I think to have a team be as good as they are and as with people on, like, to have players on the team that you know, like, that casual people know, it's a big deal, an important deal, I think, to the NFL, and I do think that's why the Chiefs' ratings, that Mahomes is there, and that you've got, you know, Taylor Swift's boyfriend playing for the team,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's, the people know these people, they feel like they
couple
know.
Of felons, too, yeah.
I watched the Hallmark Chiefs movie over the holidays.
What, Christmas with the Kelseys? What was it?
It was, no, but Miss Kelsey, the Mama Kelsey was on it, but it was, I can't remember the name. But Kansas City, I thought, felt like it was in the name. But, yeah.
Am I alone in thinking, adding Caitlin Clark to the suite, was that too much?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I felt like, I was like, are they trolling us? And obviously, like, Caitlin Clark is probably in the sweet spot age of obviously being a massive Taylor Swift fan. And I'm sure if you're Caitlin Clark and Taylor Swift says, do you want to come and watch the Chiefs game with me? It's like, how fast can you say yes? But that just felt like it was just like trolling. Like, here we go. We're going to break the internet. Back when that was a thing.
Right. That to me also, but that also should make you want to see the Chiefs in this. Who's going to be the celebrity? If we've already seen Caitlin Clark, what is going to happen next? That was, I didn't predict that.
But I mean, are we running out? Like, who is even on this level?
On.